Blog Talk Radio.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be.
Sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. She gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. And her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, Now has come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. But the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. Then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to make war against the rest of her offspring, those who obey God's commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus.
And when the night is cloudy, there is still a light that shines on me. Sound of music, Mother Mary comes to me, singing words of wisdom, let it be.
Good evening and welcome to a special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show. Tonight, with your host Don Hartley, the Catholic Defender, we will examine in depth the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host is John Carpenter, an expert on a number of apparitions of our Blessed Mother. Tonight, John will lead us in an in-depth examination of one of these apparitions. Here now is John Carpenter. who will tell us which of Our Lady's apparitions we will examine tonight.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Journey with Mary. Yes, every week we do take a close look at one of the appearances by the Blessed Virgin Mary somewhere in the world, somewhere over the last 2,000 years. She started having her appearances documented in 40 AD. Yeah, that's a long time ago. 40 AD and all the way up to now. That's right, now. So quite a bit's gone on. The International Marian Research Institute in Dayton, Ohio, has compiled, documented the appearances, and they list approximately close to 2,600 now, which is just amazing. So in roughly 2,000 years, 2,600 appearances shows you she's been quite busy. So what we try to do on this show is present the best information, the best researched facts, investigations, professional details, scientific information, anything we have as proof, evidence, just any of that to help listeners understand what's going on. And then we look closely at what her appearances meant in terms of why maybe she appeared, when and how, and then also what messages might have been given, predictions, what she wanted of the people. Sometimes she was very quiet. Sometimes she gave lots of messages. So just depends. And none of these visionaries planned on being visionaries. None of them asked for it. None of them prayed for it. In fact, some of them didn't even know who she was for several months. And sometimes when they did figure out who she was, they often said, oh, pick someone else. I don't know if I can do this. So, again, it wasn't like something that they wished for or wanted or fantasized for at all. So it's fascinating research. And by bringing this to you every week, hopefully you get to see what we've seen, the patterns of things, the details, the messages, and how it all adds up. Because this is heaven reaching out to us through Blessed Mary, who used to be one of us. So she and Jesus make a great team to reach down to us from heaven and help us along. So, tonight we'll be going to a very exciting apparition story from the Manila in the Philippines. The year's 1986, and we'll get back to that in a minute, but that's only 36 years ago, folks. Not 200 or 1,000 years ago, but 36 years ago, and it helped change history, her appearance. So this is a very exciting apparition witnessed by many people with great impact. So quite an exciting, one of the most amazing modern stories that we have in the last 30, 40 years. So pretty impressive stuff. We'll get back to that in a minute. First of all, I'd like to welcome back my co-host, Mr. Donald Hartley, the founder, the one and only founder of Deeper Truth, which I like to call Deeper Truth International, because our show reaches out to close to 200 countries. So I think as founder of Deeper Truth, he can be quite proud of the fact that these are far-reaching shows indeed. And I think, Donald, since you're on, you could say what kind of impact this has had on fallen away Catholics and maybe uncertain believers out there. What would you say the research shows?
Well, the research and you know, Catholic Answers and other organizations out there that have testified some areas in the Catholic Church in the United States, for example, and we have played a role as with Catholic apologetics like Catholic Answers and other good Catholic outlets. And we are among the top, you know, as far as Blog Talk Radio. And we have, we helped over 1 million fallen-away Catholics come back to the church. That's what we're about as an apostolate. That is our apostolate. And to try and work to keeping Catholics Catholic. That's another big thing, too, is keeping Catholics Catholic. That's another thing. And so we have, you know, we got Doc and we got Mike from New Jersey. Doc is from Texas, or not Texas, but I mean Tennessee. And we got Kathy. Now, she's from Missouri, so she's not too far from you. So we got Kathy that's joined us here tonight as well. But I do want to say, John, just listening to your monologue and how exciting this is and this series is, the Journey with Mary series, because this is very important. What is, you're talking about heaven reaching out to us. And, you know, we reach out to the Lord and Our Lady. And so this is so important. And we've had some interesting questioning, you know, people wanting to challenge us on Medjugorje. But at the same time, I think the more we delve into the story of Medjugorje, the more we find the reality of it. You know, Pope St. John Paul II said that he believed that Medjugorje was an extension of Fatima. That's what he said. And when you have the chief Vatican exorcist speaking highly of Medjugorje, you just can't beat that. And then all the details. And John, for one of the things that you have looked at as a psychiatrist, I think it's fascinating, your approach or your understanding about this. But when you think about the brain waves, just mention something about the brain waves where the seers of the Medjugorje children are similar to other seers of other Marian apparitions. That's amazing.
Oh, sure. Well, they did testing, and they did lots and lots of testing on the Medjugorje visionaries. And, you know, they didn't react to light or loud sounds, and they found that their brain waves were not that of a deep relaxed state or hypnotic state or any kind of altered state like that. So they said it was like they were in a higher level of reality. And then the brain scans showed delta waves, and delta waves only show up in comatose patients, which they were not at all, since they were happily talking with Mary. But their brains, it's almost like their brains were emptied out so that the divine messages could come in. It was just something the scientists had never seen. And so then, of course, they wanted to see if other visionaries from around the world, like South Korea, Julia Kim, in fact, who we've talked about the last several weeks, she was tested, same thing, delta wave. And Patricia from Ecuador, same thing. And there were others, too. So how do you fake that? You cannot fake brain waves doing that kind of thing. Something is clearly impacting the brains of the visionaries in a good way to allow this divine communication. So here you have a solid scientific base, something the scientists had never seen before, but they hadn't studied it before, and they were all very impressed. So it's that kind of stuff that you can't just say, oh, this stuff is fake and all that. And the reason why we didn't want to get into a debate with these people, because they were slandering us, calling us liars and immoral and cheats. And look, folks, we don't deal with non-Christian people who are slandering us all over the internet. We just don't. We're not going to take the time to glorify that kind of behavior by addressing it. It's just we do our job here in bringing you the truth, the best of our knowledge. And we don't gain anything from it other than the joy of bringing such good information to you. And so for people to be hateful and mean and calling us names on the internet, that's not Christian behavior. So therefore, I don't acknowledge it or recognize it. End of story to some of our people on the team.
Kathy, amen. In fact, Kathy, and she ran into some of this herself.
Hi, Kathy.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Kathy.
I had some short conversation. I was always told to read the book, and then the conversation was shut down. So that's not how you discuss. So that
right.
was impossible to deal with. So I was done. Been done. Will be done.
Yep.
That's all there is to that.
And Mike's out there, too, in New Jersey. Mike, tell us any reactions.
Well, I would say that there's something else we don't have, and that's the exorbitant salaries that people earn for doing what we do. We do this out of a labor of love and to get the truth out there so you can hear it.
Right. That's exactly right. We don't get a penny for any of this, and we don't expect anything. We do it out of the love for the subject and for our faith and for sharing it in hopes that others will be inspired.
We don't have to worry about offending some advertiser who doesn't like what we say. There are no advertisers.
Right. Yeah, that's right. That's right. And how's Doc think about all this?
Hey, and hi, everybody. I didn't even know there was an apparition in the Philippines. So I'm, you know, apparently I'm not up to speed on a lot of it. I've been, you know, to be perfectly honest, life got in the way. But, you know, I mean, I'm interested to know more about it.
Great. Great.
I wonder, well, John, in your meanderings around the Philippines, did you catch the new baseball team they have over there? It's called the Manila Folders.
Oh, no. No.
Oh. Dad joke.
I thought it was the Manila Cookies.
Dad joke.
All right.
But somebody up there that might be listening to this kind of thing who's just, because we get new listeners all the time, and so they may be thinking about Mary appearing in what? Well, you know, Acts chapter 2, and in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Yea, and on the men and my men servants and my maid servants in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And here's the kicker, ladies and gentlemen, verse 19, and I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth beneath. And that's exactly what we're talking about. And 1 John chapter 4, beginning with verse 1, says, Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are of God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. And so when we're testing the spirit, what is our criteria? It has to come from that apostolic authority, that apostolic witness that Jesus established in his holy Catholic Church. And that's why it is important for us. And so when we're doing these shows, we are falling in line in the Catholic Church and the investigations that are being spearheaded by the Catholic Church, localities and what have you, through psychiatrists, scientists, like what John was talking about, the brain waves and all of that. The Church relies on data, you know, also to include the messages and all these things. So there's so much that is detailed in these kinds of things, ain't there? Isn't there, John?
Oh yeah, and that's why it's so overwhelming with evidence, and it makes sense because not only is each one interesting in itself, but when you add them all up, they're so similar, and the details are so amazing in that they repeat over and over in the same way and the same reactions and the same methods, and everything is just, that paints a picture of reality, not fantasy or delusion or hallucination, which would be all different all over the place.
I want to jump in before I lose it because I got memory issues. I want to go back to something that Don just read in the scripture reading about not trusting everything you see. A lot of people forget that Satan, Lucifer, was an angel of light, and he can appear that way. And so you need to test. You don't just take it, okay, you're God, boom, oh, kill these people, okay. You know, and then Son of Sam and all those other nut jobs do that stuff. So you have to test it. And I'm glad you pointed out, because when you said that, I remembered, you know, hey, Lucifer's an angel of light, boom. So, Don, I wanted to put a throwback to that.
Well, that's a good
point.
Well, I got one.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Kathy.
Go ahead, Kathy.
I had a little something to add to that. My priest, I was talking to him on Friday when I said my confession for Divine Mercy Sunday. And he had a statue sitting there, and it looked like St. Michael the Archangel. And he says, I'm going to bury that. And I said, why? And he had it facing the wall. And somebody had given it to him. And when he turned it, it looked like St. Michael. It looked like an angel. But its face was very fierce, and its eyebrows were very, like, furrowed. And it had a sword, and it wasn't standing on Satan or anything, but it had a demon skull with horns right in the middle of its chest.
Yeah, that's demonic.
It appeared to be St. Michael, but it was demonic.
Wow.
I would have just threw that in the fire and burned it up.
Yeah.
That's what I told him.
Yeah,
I said, he goes, I think it's metal. He goes, I don't think, but he's going to bury it in some, he's trained as an exorcist, so he'll know what to do with it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
He's already, per se, baptized it is what he calls it, so it nullifies power it may have had.
Something like
good
that.
Good for him.
Something like that. Something like that. I don't know if I would bury it or not, because you don't know what that could. I will tell you this. When I was in Iraq, I had right next to our troop medical clinic, we had our chapel, their warrior chapel right there on where on our JSS. And on Friday nights, that's when the Druids and the Wiccans and the Satanists, the pagans and the neo-pagans had, they were given permission to use the chapel on Friday nights at 7 o'clock. And there, if I was walking by there, one of them reached out to me. And it turned out that he was a fallen away Catholic. And so what do you know when you see what I do when I reach out, when I see there's a fallen away Catholic, I don't care where he goes. I reach out there in my back pocket, and I pull out my fishing pole, and I, you know, to reel them back. Well, he invited me to come to one of their services on Friday night. As the Catholic defender, I went to one of their services, and I told them I am a devout Catholic, and I believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, I wasn't there to judge them, but I was there to observe. And they kind of got into some of the gods that they worshipped, and they granted me an opportunity to ask them some questions. So I asked them, do you believe that you will become gods like the god you now serve? And it was kind of interesting how they kind of got together and all kind of, and eventually they said yes. And then I asked them, do you believe that you were born this way? Despite one was a fallen away Catholic, one was a fallen away Methodist, and one was a fallen away Church of Christ, or, you know, different things. And they all kind of said yes. Basically, they all believed that they were born this way. And then I asked them about the Latin language, how important the Latin language was for them in their spells. And they said that some of them said it was the reason why they went to college, so they can enhance their spells using Latin. And so then I asked them, how did Harry Potter have any influence on you becoming a witch? And to that was very interesting to that. Well, at the end of this thing, when everybody was leaving, they gave me a coin in the military, you know, like your battalion, your division, they got these coins. Well, they gave me a coin. They gave me a coin that had all this pagan symbols on it. And I told, I was on my message board, I was on Steve Ray's message board, and I mentioned this to some of friends of mine that I was, hey, I was just given this coin. I told them what happened. And one of my friends said, you better watch out because you don't know what's following that thing. Just like that's what, Kathy, with your little story about that statue, that's what led to this. Well, you don't know what's following that thing. So I took it to the division chapel, and I showed it to Father. And Father pulled out his, for holy water, to put holy water in. And we put that coin in the holy water. And do you know what happened, John?
Yes, I do. It dissolved.
Because you heard what happened was,
it
and it didn't bubble up, and it It did not start or cause some kind of boiling or nothing like that, but it vanished. It completely vanished. And talk about
That's amazing.
But you don't.
The thing is, Kathy, you said your priest is an exorcist. If he's going to exorcise that statue, then that wards off all the demons. So now it's just a chunk of metal that looks demonic, and he'll dispose of it.
He's going to bury it someplace near the cemetery. So that's consecrated land. He's got some other objects that he's going to bury at the same time. But he says, or he does this at our church, whenever any of us get like a statue or anything, we bring it in to daily mass. And he does something that's called baptizement. So he does an exorcism, but he during mass, he blesses that object several times with holy water and exorcises it several times. And he says, once an object like that is baptized, it's a window to the saint or Jesus that it represents. It's like a window to him.
Nice.
Sweet.
Anytime, I took in 30 St. Benedict medals, and we consecrated our land, the Four Corners, and we're going to do it son's property. And he did the same thing to those St. Benedict medals. And also my table salt, anytime I buy new salt for the house, I take it to mass, and he exercises the salt. I had to bring like three big things of it at a time. So all the salt I use in the house is exercised salt. And he keeps us always, we have lots of holy water, epiphany water, exercised water. We always have that. He gives it to us. We have it on hand.
All right.
That's excellent.
Yes, that's excellent. A lot of people underestimate the power of exorcism. Most Protestant religions don't like it. They don't talk about it. It's been removed from the liturgy. It's a lot of it in the prayers. It's been removed. Any kind of comment because it makes them uncomfortable. But it's one of the best weapons we have in the spiritual war.
Absolutely.
It really is.
One confession is worth 100 exorcisms if you get a good confession. But here's something.
I'm not arguing that. What I'm saying, though, is like in baptism, there were four, back in the old days, there were four exorcism prayers given to the infant.
Oh, sure.
To give him that armor. And that's not done anymore. How many Catholics have fallen away because they didn't have that armor right from the offset? You know, so people underestimate the power of it. Pardon me?
Go ahead, Kathy.
My priest does before. He does before. There's priests out there that
and so does ours. Here's something, because we were talking about holy items and things. It says in verse 11, Acts chapter 19, 11, and God did extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that handkerchiefs or aprons, towels and that kind of thing, were carried away from his body to the sick, and diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them. Then some of the itinerary Jewish exorcists undertook to pronounce the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, I adjure you, by the Jesus whom Paul preaches, the seven sons of a Jewish high priest named Zeba were doing this. But the evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, mastered all of them, and overpowered them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this became known to all residents of Ephesus, both Jews and Greeks. And fear fell upon them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was extolled. Many also of those who were now believers came confessing and divulging their practices, and a number of those who practiced magic and satanic arts brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all, and they counted the value of them and found it came to 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord grew and prevailed mightily. And so, Kathy, I couldn't help it with what you were saying and that testimony that you were giving. I couldn't help it just I recalled this scripture, which it fits so well. So that is good. So
all right.
Our Lord is
well, this is all great stuff and great discussion, but we need to get to our story. So
yes,
we do.
Yes. And again, it's in the Manila in the Philippines in 1986. And here's how it went. The events in the Philippines began February 1986 as the virtual 20-year dictatorship of Ferdinand Marcos came to an abrupt and unexpected end through a series of strange events. Corazon Aquino, the widow and reluctant political replacement of the slain opposition leader, Ninoy Aquino, had won the presidential election in a stunning upset by an overwhelming margin. President Marcos had actually called for this election as a means to put an end to the efforts by the opposition, but it backfired and he lost. However, through illegal actions and total control of the media, Marcos instead flagrantly lied and declared himself as the winner. The rigged
Sounds
election,
familiar.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, we heard that. We heard that before.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
You also forgot to mention that Ferdinand Marcos's wife Amelia had a pair of shoes for every day in the year.
Yes.
Really?
I know. Yes, she had 3,000 pairs.
Yeah,
of shoes.
That's how big a deal he was.
Stay focused, guys. The rigged election results were blatant and obvious to everyone, sending millions into the streets to protest and triggering an unexpected coup attempt by a dissatisfied faction of the military. The SEGA of EDSA, which is Epifanio de los Santos Avenue, that's their name for it, culminated in a four-day tension-filled event when the rebel group in the armed forces of the Philippines was discovered by the Marcos troops and was ordered to be arrested. But the Archbishop of Manila, and I love his name, Cardinal Jaime Sin, Cardinal Sin, enjoined the people to go out in the streets to the rebel leaders. The Catholic faithful heeded the call and massed along the streets fronting the camp where the rebel leaders, headed by then Defense Secretary Juan Ponce Enrile and Armed Forces Vice Chief of Staff Fidel Ramos, were held up and thus escorted by the people against impending bombs from the Marcos loyal troops. So, okay, so you got this faction of rebels from the military that are backing the people's wishes, but the people are now protecting them. So they flooded the streets by the thousands, and they milled around the rebel leaders, bringing nothing with them but rosary beads, flowers, food, and images of the Blessed Virgin. Hundreds and thousands of religious priests and sisters, parish priests and their parishioners, including onlookers and curiosity seekers, stayed on the streets, immobilizing the tanks sent out to crush the rebel leaders. And according to reports, even the people, the masses of people in the streets continued to pray the rosary endlessly. Some offered garlands of flowers to the soldiers who stood guard. Some brave nuns climbed up on the tanks that were approaching. Those who stayed in their homes sent supplies of food and drinks to the streets. St. Marcos had sent a full army with tanks and armored vehicles to Manila in order to control the seemingly unstoppable public demonstrations against his administration. He planned to stop at nothing, in order to gain control, even if that meant massacring the crowds on the streets. Sounds familiar. The civilians continued their protests, notwithstanding the danger, when they would lie down in front of the tanks to stop them from penetrating the crowd. As the soldiers tried to advance, they saw up in the sky what appeared to be a cross-like figure. But this did not hinder them from pursuing their goal, and they continued to press on toward the crowd. The rosary was recited continuously. The melody of Ave Maria sounded after each decade. All of a sudden, the soldiers were awestruck, stopping dead in their tracks. A beautiful woman, encased in immense bright light and dressed as a nun, became clearly visible, standing in front of the tanks. The light was dazzling as the crowd saw her appear. According to these soldiers, a beautiful woman dressed in blue with heavenly eyes appeared in front of them, extended her arms outward, and spoke in a voice that was clearly heard by everyone. She said, quote, "Dear soldiers, stop. Do not proceed. Do not harm my children. I am the queen of this land." The soldiers then dropped their weapons, withdrew from pressing forward, and joined the throngs of people to turn and fight with them against the Marcos regime. The soldiers claimed that the woman who appeared to them was Virgin Mary. A television station was covering the event, which prompted thousands of residents of the Philippines to run out of their homes in celebration, all yelling, "Mother Mary is with us! Mother Mary is with us!" President Marcos and his family left for Hawaii that night. He had no one left to support him. Well, Cardinal Jamie Finn vouches for the veracity of the apparition and said, quote, "Yes, my heart was telling me that this was indeed Mary. And since they obeyed this woman who appeared to them and did not follow orders to fire upon the people, then President Marcos had nobody to give him any power or support. This is when he fled from the Philippines. That was the end of him," unquote. Now, the cardinal added that he did not know the soldiers, but that they came in tears to him by this beautiful heavenly lady. The cardinal also revealed that he met with Sister Lucia, the only living visionary from Fatima, just before he was to travel to the United States to tell of the Virgin's visit at a press conference. Although Sister Lucia had no access to newspapers, radio, television, or magazines, he was amazed that she knew and recounted every detail to him of what had happened. Let me say that again. Sister Lucia knew and recounted every detail to him of what had happened, although she could not have had any knowledge of the event from where she was. She then added that Corazine Aquino was a gift to the Philippines from God, and that if she could maintain peace and democracy there for at least two or more years, that nation would be influential in leading China to Christianity. It was on a historic day, February 25th, 1986, when the concept of a special shrine to the Blessed Virgin Mary was conceived. So that's about a week later. On that date, the political dictatorship of the late President Ferdinand Marcos ended with him. Family and close associates fleeing to Hawaii to escape the angry but peaceful uprising of the Filipino people who were tired of his one-man rule. It was a shining moment for the faith of the people in a God who listens. It was also the people's faith and trust in the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of the Church, which gave the people persistence impatiently waiting for the end of this unlamented regime. 10 years later, on the same site where the rebels were met by the protective group of political activists to safety, a church was built, aptly named Our Lady of Edsa, which is the street name. And that was a shrine in commemoration of that glorious moment in the history of the Filipino people where love and faith towered over the might of guns and goons and propelled the republic to continue its political history of freedom and respect for the Constitution and the will of the people. Patroness of the Edsa Shrine stands guard as a large statue atop the beautifully crafted roof of the Edsa Church, fronting the busy crossroads of these streets. It is a fitting place for Our Lady of Peace to look over her children and keep them hopeful of a more joyous and peaceful life now and in the future. What a historic event. What do you guys think of that one?
Well,
that's pretty
that,
wild.
I mean, I just want to give a shout out to my daughter-in-law, Rose Sandlin, who lives there in the Philippines. And so I just wanted to give a shout out to my daughter-in-law as we are now there in the Philippines on this radio show. And what a, this is amazing. And anyone who is listening to John here tonight knows why on a number of occasions I have already declared John Carpenter the victor on any debate in regards to Medjugorje, because there's no one that has been trying to challenge. Well, I won't even say they were challenging us. They were rude, crude, and socially unacceptable, and so I would not permit a debate anyway, because I don't think they're worthy. I don't think they're deserving of such a debate. And plus, where they're getting their information from is what I call the peanut gallery in the cheap seats. And so what we have is far more important than the cheap seats. Do you agree with that, John?
Oh, sure. And, you know, I actually met someone who had been there at that time, and they knew someone at the television station, and they were going to try to get film footage of that. I never heard from them again, and maybe they couldn't get it, but wouldn't that have been just the best to have gotten the television footage people were watching from home that made them run out to the streets and say, Mother Mary's with us. Mm-hmm. I mean, they saw it on TV and ran out into the streets proclaiming their happiness and joy that Mary had showed up to save the day by stopping those soldiers. Yes.
John, you can also glean something else from the story you were reading to us. We also know the kind of car that Cardinal Sin drove.
Oh,
why,
no.
An Edsa.
Oh, Mike, you're too funny.
An Edsa?
Anyway.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. I understand that story did appear in some, like, page 36 of the New York Times under a small little paragraph, because nobody here really believed anything like that could have happened. But, you know, it's okay. And I think what Sister Lucia was able to know what happened.
Oh, that's amazing.
Obviously through Mary and not through any news media.
That is amazing. That is amazing. I do remember the news, though. They covered Marcos leaving for Hawaii. I remember that. That was
oh, yeah.
News when
yeah.
when that happened. But they didn't.
They didn't
talk about. Yeah. Oh wow.
Yeah, they didn't mention any of that. Yeah, they didn't mention any of it.
He had no. He Cardinal Sin had a hernia, which they repaired without any anesthetic, and he laid there quietly without giving a sound. Such was this man, and when the doctors went in there, they found that within his system, where that hernia was, there was a cross. I mean, there's just something. I mean, Cardinal Sin, he was an amazing, amazing man of God.
And by the way, There, one thing I didn't mention, which I talked to Wayne Weibel, who was author of many Medjugorje books, and he actually had investigated this exact story and talked to Cardinal Sin. And he asked Cardinal Sin, how do you know it wasn't one of your nuns that was out there stopping him? And he laughed and said, he said, sir, I know all the nuns, and none of them are as beautiful as that.
Wow.
But anyway, I think it would have to take something extraordinary in a heavenly light with heavenly eyes and a voice like that that would stop soldiers, not just any nun. So, yeah, they were sharp with Mary. Well, and the description is what we always hear, a beautiful lady in a brilliant light and a voice that all could hear, you know, very authoritative. So, yeah, there's nothing surprising about the image. So, but what a story. And by the way, they celebrate every year day at the shrine. It's like their Independence Day, sort of. You know, they celebrate it. They carry statues of Mary and they honor her appearance. So probably anyone in the Philippines, especially in the Manila area, would be well aware of this story and the celebration that goes on every year on that day. So very cool story, but again, not known by us, not known by our press. CNN did not carry this story like it should have, but
I
don't know they
would.
Yeah, they're not going to do that.
Since you mentioned CNN. Since you mentioned CNN, CNN Plus, they gave out their figures before they folded. Did you know that here at Deeper Truth, we are bigger than CNN Plus? Oh, I just thought that was so cool. And here's something else that you just mentioned right here about the beauty of Mary. When you go to Psalms 45, beginning with the verse 9, the second half of that, at your right hand, referring to our Lord's right hand, stands the queen, referring to the Virgin Mary in gold of Orphel. Hear, O daughter, consider and incline your ear. Forget your people and your father's house. And the king, referring to Jesus, will desire your beauty. Oh, wow, ain't that cool?
Yeah, very cool.
Very cool.
So, and, you know, you might think, well, this is odd, heaven intervening like this. But, you know, it's not the first time when in Pontmain, France, Mary appeared to the people. And then the next morning she appeared to the soldiers, the Prussian soldiers that were invading France. And she appeared to them and held out her hand as if to say, stop. And they said they could not advance any further because they saw this heavenly figure, and they turned around and left and never came back. So that was another example of Mary intervening and stopping aggression. And I wish, because Ukraine is so Catholic, I wish, and maybe she did when they turned away from Kiev, who knows, but I wish, because we won't hear about it for years if she ever did make an appearance at those times. But all of a sudden, you know, they turned back. And by the way, that was right at the time that the consecration happened, that they backed off from Kyiv and retreated. So who knows what might have happened over there that we won't hear about for probably years. But I wondered, because heaven's been known to step in at times, especially with all the prayers and stuff that go on.
Well,
you know,
one
John,
of my favorite stories is China. You know the story of 1900 in China. You know that one there very well.
Yep. Where she appeared in the sky and 10,000 Bolsheviks? No.
No, it wasn't Bolsheviks. It was the Chinese, the Black Rebellion.
Oh.
Rebellion.
You know,
10,000 of
Boxer.
Them.
The Boxer Rebellion.
Yeah,
John.
Yeah, the boxer.
Yeah.
Yeah, John, you know that in the 1930s, the Chicago Tribune or the Chicago Sun-Times, but it was Chicago newspaper, they sent a reporter to New York to cover the release of the New International Version Bible. And they did that because people wanted it. They also printed the excerpts. They also printed excerpts from sermons preached in Chicago churches. That's because that's what people want. People get what people get from the media, what they want from the media.
Yeah. Yeah. So it also happened in I call it Czestochowa, but it's Czechoslovakia in Poland, where again the Catholics were under attack at Jasna Góra, this hilltop monastery retreat, and in the kind of a fortress, and Mary appeared there, and literally the opposition called her, "Who is that supernatural witch that parades up and down your walls and scares the heck out of us?" And they found out later that Mary was doing some little tricks there to scare off the opposition as well. So it's happened before. You know, when we started to mention China and what happened when she appeared in the sky, the Boxers, the 10,000 barbaric rebels, kind of like ISIS, started firing their guns at her in the sky, trying to shoot her. Now, not smart, because out of the sky, and this is 1900, right on the dot, in Donglu, China, this flaming swordsman on a horseback comes raging out of the sky and like a ball of fire, flashing his sword of fire. Who do you think that was? Saint Michael.
Oh, yeah.
And if you think they imagined it, well, it scared all 10,000, and they ran like rats jumping off of a sinking ship and then never returned. So obviously in 1900, something very dramatic and scary happened after they shot at Virgin Mary. So don't ever shoot at her. Don't ever.
Yeah, that's probably not a good idea.
Not a good idea. So okay. It's interesting. It has happened in history where heaven has intervened to stop some things, and always prayers were always being said, rosaries and things like that were going on that made the difference. So, again, a testament to the power of the rosary.
And you know what's amazing about this? You know what's amazing about this is how the Mary made the police force of Mr. Marcos sound more like these guys.
There's a holdup in the Bronx, Brooklyn's broken out in fights. There's a traffic jam in Harlem that's backed up to Jackson Heights. There's a scout who shot a child for sister Red Eye Wild.
Car 54, where are you?
Oh, you're funny, Mike. That's great. Kathy, what did you think of this story? Had you heard it before?
Doc?
Yeah.
Oh, she's not there. I'm sorry. She's not on anymore.
Kathy dropped off. She dropped off.
I heard of the Boxing Rebellion, but I never heard that story, though. So I'm learning a lot here. I'm just taking it all in. That's pretty cool.
Oh, we got lots to
Very
tell
cool.
You. We have so we got much.
Lots to catch up on.
Yeah. All right.
And, you
Any
know,
other thoughts or comments?
This is just wonderful. And anyone that's listening to this show tonight, and, you know, I'm just saying, because I found some new friends that I got who are supportive of Medjugorje. As a result, they were defending Our Lady of Medjugorje, and I jumped in on that as well. And so I got friends out of what the Unholy Trinity has been doing. And so I'm just saying I'm so thankful because, John, I'm thankful for the work that you put in on all of these stories, because you've put in a lot of research that, you're right. A lot of Catholics could tell you about Fatima and Lourdes and Guadalupe. And even at that extent, as far as the nuggets, when you're through your research, I mean, you bring out so much information that just flies over people's heads because you don't see all this information just placed out there like what you're doing tonight. And that is just remarkable, I think it's important, and that's why this is such an important show too, because Our Lady,
well,
she wants us for the long haul.
It wouldn't be possible if the founder of Deeper Truth had not made this show possible and invited me to do it. I was determined to get information out one way or the other, but you made it possible to present it to the world through this wonderful Deeper Truth Network. Thank you, Donald.
Thank you, Donald.
Oh, and thank you, everybody, and all the listeners. And they're in the Philippines. You know, the Philippines as a country are like the third largest that listen to and participate as far as the Deeper Truth. I mean, the United States, obviously, and then Canada and England. And, you know, I'm just saying we've had so many different countries. But the Philippines, we have a lot of listeners and of those who do so. And that is a good thing. So we're thankful for the people of the Philippines, and this story is just a powerful story. And I wish that we had that kind of resolve in this country, because we suffered a coup too, and that's why we're going through the problems we are now. Because anybody on the political side of this, Trump won the election.
All right.
It was a coup.
All right. So,
hey, before we go. Can I do a plug for St. Patrick's Church in McEwing, Tennessee?
Sure.
Father Zach, and I'm going to butcher his name. It's Kai Rang Yu, I believe. We've talked, and we're talking about putting a Latin Mass out there. And what I would like from the listeners is to pray for him. He has to think on it. He's working two parishes and working a school, so he's a busy man. But he agrees like me, we need more righteous masculinity in the church, and this is one good way of putting it in. It's St. Patrick's Church in McEwen, Tennessee. And his name is Frank, or excuse me, Zach. Father Zach Kai Rang Yu. I don't know how to pronounce it. It's Kirangu. So anyway, I just want to put that out to the listeners. I told Father we'd pray for him, and so this is my keeping up my end of that word. So thank you.
And he might be listening. He might be listening. Didn't you tell him about the show?
Tell him about the show. So he might be listening.
Okay.
If you are, Father, I told you I'd put the word out.
And Father, I want to give you a Deeper Truth salute. Salute. That's awesome.
And we do travel to do presentations. So if any church wants presentations from this male laity, we will be glad to come anywhere that we are asked.
Yeah.
All right. As next week, we'll be going to Egypt again, Shubra, Egypt, and another fascinating story from there. We'll be going there next week. And as always, we like to close out with our around the world rosary. Not rosary, Hail Mary. Sorry, rosary would take way too long. It'd be a good idea. But, so I'm going to now move towards doing that. And join with me now all around the world, because all your voices will unite together. And as they do around the world, they will rise up in unison toward heaven, where hopefully we make heaven smile as we honor our Blessed Mother Mary with this Hail Mary. Join with me now. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. God bless every one of you who tuned in tonight. We hope that this program has been interesting, helpful, educational, enlightening, and certainly not like any other hour in your day. So please stay tuned with us. We'll be back next week at the same time. And more stories from the research. So stay with this Deeper Truth program as we try to bring you the best information in the best way. And thank you, Donald, for joining again and co-hosting, as always. It's always a pleasure, and I'll turn it over to you now.
And I do want to also tomorrow night be back, same bat time, same bat station, with Dr. Gregory Thompson tomorrow night with Eucharistic Miracles. And, you know, I love this journey with Mary on Sunday night, because what does Our Lady do? She leads us to Jesus. Oh, and it's just so wonderful. And I want to thank you, John, and as well, Greg, for while I've been recovering from the stroke that I've been, and all the prayers that I've received. Thank you all. So we're so thankful. And I'm going to do a little promo here.
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line.
Truth is a fine line. Deeper Truth is an even finer line. When we decided to call ourselves Deeper Truth, we knew the obligations that name would put upon us. We wanted our readers and listeners to be always confident. Whenever you tuned into a program with a Deeper Truth logo, that is exactly what you got. Deeper Truth. From Journey with Mary with John Carpenter on Sundays to the Eucharistic Miracles, with Dr. Gregory Thompson on Mondays, you learned you were never alone, that heaven is only a prayer away. It is a sacred obligation week after week to bring you not just the truth, but the deeper truth. And that is why
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line.
And Johnny Cash came out with I Walk the Line in 1956. And ladies and gentlemen, that was the year that I was born. So I can tell you I've been walking the line ever since.
From man's earliest days, he has looked to the heavens for a being superior to himself. In the earliest annals of history, we find the results of this search. Zeus, chief of the gods of ancient Greece, who ruled by thunderbolt. Mars, the Roman god of war. Apollo, Thor, and other gods and goddesses that you'd better not cross if you know what's good for you. Then, gradually, from a single nation, emerges a god unlike any of the others that man had crafted for himself. This god didn't rule over man with an iron hand, but with a tender, sacred heart. He held out his hand in love to his creation, going so far as to sacrifice himself in atonement for the sins of mankind. The Greeks even had a name for him, They called this god the unknown god and even erected a temple to him. Years later, St. Paul would formally introduce him. And that is exactly why the Catholic Defender is here. Your host represents an unbroken line of succession to the apostles of the one called Jesus, the only one whose mercy and compassion overflows any container that tries to contain it. This is a God you really want to meet. We're here to make the introduction. This God is a God of judgment. However, first and foremost, he is a God of mercy and compassion. He won't turn you away. He holds out his hand in divine mercy to you and everyone. He loves you as you are, but he also loves you too much to let you stay that way. He'll forgive your sin, not condone it. So what are we waiting for? Let's meet your host, Donald Hartley, the Catholic Defender, one with answers to your most pressing questions. Now, here's Don Hartley.
And John, here's the prayer of the Order of Malta. Lord Jesus, thou hast seen fit to enlist us for your service in the Order of St. John of Jerusalem. I humbly entreat you, through the intercession of the Most Holy Virgin, of Philemos, of St. John the Baptist, Blessed Gerard, and all the saints, to keep us faithful to the traditions of the Order, be it mine to practice and defend us, our practice, and defend the Catholic, the Apostolic, the Roman faith against the enemies of religion. Be it ours to practice charity toward our neighbors, especially the poor and sick. Give us the strength we need to carry out our service and our resolve, forget of myself, learning ever more the Holy Gospel. A spirit of deep and generous Christian devotion, striving ever to promote God's glory and world's peace. Pray the Rosary. And John, I'm starting on the 15 promises of Our Lady for praying the Rosary. We've done two already. And all that may benefit the Order of St. John of Jerusalem. Amen. John, thank you for the show. Outstanding show, as always. Thank you so much, John. And good night, everybody. And Mike, thank you. And Doc and Kathy. And everybody and all of our listeners out here. We just ask for the Lord's. And we most certainly will, Nick. And Mike, you too. You be careful and keep us informed on what's going on with you.
Okay.
So God bless you.
You do the same. You take care of yourself.
Yes, we will. And I'm recovering, and
you need some rest, my friend.
So, yes. So, we will continue, and we're just going to go ahead and get us some rest. So, God bless everybody, and that's why, Mike, I love that. I love what you've put together about walk the line. I walk the line. Oh, that is so cool how you arranged that like that. And so I'm sure where Johnny's at, he's looking it down and he's thinking, I like that myself.
You take care of yourself, Don. Get some rest.
Okay. Yeah. And
we love you.
You take care. Love you too.
Okay.
Love y'all.
You
God
take
bless
care.
Y'all.
Good night.
God bless. Good night.
We